Welcome to the Resource People Podcast, presented to you by Australian Resources and Energy Group, AMA. The Resource People Podcast brings to life the stories behind the people, workforces and companies of our great industry.
Welcome to Resource People Podcast. I'm Tara Diamond, your host. Today on this episode, I'm thrilled to be joined by Liz Hansen, who is the Culture Inclusion Manager at Anglo American. And we have a fantastic conversation about Anglo American in terms of its work in diversity and inclusion, how they've embraced a new dynamic working policy, and a little bit about Liz's career as well and why she's so passionate about nurturing the next wave of resources and energy employees. I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to Resource People Podcast, Liz.
Thanks for having me today.
I'm so excited to chat to you today, Liz, and I'd like to focus on two parts. First, I'd like you to share the story of Anglo American around culture, inclusion, diversity, but I'd also like to talk about the story of your career and your journey to the job you're in today. Can you start by telling us about Anglo American, the company, where it operates and how many people it employs?
Anglo American is a leading global mining company, and our products are the essential ingredients in almost every aspect of modern life. Our portfolio of products provides many of the metals and minerals that are essential to our lives. Our global business includes diamonds through De Beers, copper, platinum, group metals, and the steelmaking ingredients of iron ore and metallurgical coal and nickel, and the newly in development crop nutrients. Our metallurgical coal business is based here in Australia with significant investments in Queensland. So we're based in the regions of Moranbah, Middlemount and Moura. We are the world's third largest exporter of metallurgical coal with two open cut and three underground metallurgical coal mines in Queensland's Bowen Basin, along with additional projects and joint venture interests. Across our operations, we employ around 5,000 people across Queensland. Each year, we produce and export millions of tonnes of the highest quality hard coking coal, which is used in steel production for critical building and infrastructure around the world.
Just loved how you explained essential for everyday life. I think that's such a great way to describe what our industry does, and not something we've necessarily done in the past is translate what we do to people's everyday life. But just getting back to everyday life, it's been quite a journey for Anglo in Australia in the last several years. Do you mind touching on that journey and where it started around culture and inclusion here in Australia?
Just touching on that modern day life, it comes back to Anglo American's purpose, which is to reimagine mining to improve people's lives. What we do, we always link it back to that purpose. A little bit about where we are here in metallurgical coal and in Queensland in regards to our inclusion and diversity journey. It really kicked off for me about 3 years ago when we were coming to the conclusion of a divestment process. So we did have assets up for sale, and after coming to the conclusion of the divestment phase, it was decided that we were no longer up for sale, and Anglo American was going to retain these assets. The leadership team identified that, you know, we'd been through a really unique period in our company's history, and we needed to rebuild, and we needed to rebuild the culture and the diversity within our organisation. And that's when I came into the role as Culture and Inclusion Manager for Metallurgical Coal.
Wow. So let's save the bit about how you came to the role for your story. And can you take us back to that time? Where did you start? Let's rebuild culture. Let's start building things from the ground up again. And where did you start? What did you do as a team and as a business?
Where we started, I think it is important to understand my background. I was tasked to lead this for metallurgical coal, and my background is actually accounting. So I was a bit out of my depth, and it was a real learning curve for me. So where I started was hearing from the people, or where Anglo started. We wanted to build a strategy which wasn't just about achieving short-term goals, but really about embedding that culture of where we wanted to be no matter what the cycle is within mining. And as you'd be aware, and as a lot of the listeners would be aware, mining is cyclical. We go through ups and downs. And so we wanted to create that culture and develop that inclusion and diversity strategy, which was going to weather any storm. So the first steps was really around listening to our people. So we undertook surveys, engagement surveys, inclusion and diversity surveys. We had focus groups, and we developed an inclusion and diversity council, not only at the Metcoal level, but then we have five operating sites, and we created an inclusion and diversity council at each of those sites as well.
Wow, such a great start. And Anglo's always had a leadership position in terms of diversity and inclusion here in Australia. I mean, I remember really clearly 9 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, you guys did some incredible ads around really trying to change the face of what people's perception of the industry and really encourage a more diverse pool of people to consider a career in resources. So from setting up those diversity councils and getting that evidence base, what were the building blocks you put in place? What did the councils really decide to focus on, Liz?
So what we just decided to focus on to change that organisational culture and inclusion at Anglo American was several things. One of the first things we focused on was supporting the development of our inclusive leaders. Mm. So we provided more training to leaders on how to lead to be inclusive. So leaders have often got there because of their technical capabilities or their skills in an area, and so we just reinforce their learning around inclusive leadership and unconscious bias. And we also gave all of our leaders training in foundations in inclusion and diversity. We allowed them to question why we are going down this path, and for everyone to build their own internal or their own self business case of why it was important to them, for them to connect with the reason behind inclusion and diversity. So we definitely started off with our leaders, first of all. We were then around promoting and encouraging connections and cultural awareness. So really about building up that infrastructure across each of our sites so they can deal with site-specific issues and deal with any issues at a site level, which is really important in improving connections and cultural awareness. We also focused on increasing awareness around and reducing bullying, sexual harassment and discrimination. And it included implementation of an organisation-wide training program called Call It Out. So Call It Out was all around the bystander, and as a bystander, what roles and responsibilities you have to call out inappropriate behaviours that you've seen in the workplace. So that's been a real learning tool for us as an organisation. Another important building block in our inclusion and diversity journey was looking at the effective implementation of our dynamic working policies, which covered flexible working arrangements, parental leave, annual leave, and domestic and family violence. Another area that we focused on was developing strategies to improve diversity in our organisation, and in particular, female representation. So we've looked at issues which really affect our regional locations, such as childcare concerns for our workforce as well. And then another thing which is really important is supporting mental health initiatives across our business. So our inclusion and diversity work also encourages the support around mental health.
Wow, you've had a lot on your plate, and you certainly have tackled it at really lots of different levels. I'm going to kind of take a minute to ask a question on most of those areas, but back to that start, back to really getting your leaders engaged and really trained and supported in inclusive culture. How was it received? How was the fact that this was a focus area for you as a business received in the leaders, and how did that engagement piece and support piece go?
So the leaders identified this as a gap in our business, 3 years ago. So it was received really quite well with our leaders. Our leaders were open to learning. Again, it wasn't something that we had the experience in. So it was all about building our capability in the area of inclusion and diversity, understanding the gaps in the business, which we did by going out and talking to our people, and then working towards those initiatives which would close that gap. But our leaders, they were the ones who are on board. They were the ones who identified this as an issue and, are encouraging the work we're doing in inclusion and diversity. And it's not just at the metallurgical coal level, but it's also Anglo globally. Mm. So Anglo globally have this focus, and we have the goal that we want to create an inclusive and diverse organisation where everyone can reach their full potential and everyone feels valued and respected day in and day out.
I want to ask a question about those connections and cultural diversity you touched on with the councils that you've got at each of your sites here in Australia. You talked about specific challenges or site-specific areas. Do you see much variation between your inclusion and diversity councils at the different sites? Do you see different types of initiatives, different types of approaches, different types of challenges? Have you got much variation?
No, look, I think the issues faced across all of our sites are fairly similar. There might be different degrees, but we're really seeing the same issues across our sites. And I think when we're dealing with people and we're dealing with behaviours, I think we really are all at the same level. So, no, we haven't seen any particular issues across our sites, but we're all about empowering our sites and equipping them with the right infrastructure so that they can deal with their issues at a local level. We want to get as many people as we can involved in this, involved in these discussions to raise awareness and improve the understanding around what we're doing and why we're doing it. So it's important that it just doesn't come from a corporate perspective, but that we are truly engaging with the sites. The sites obviously do have a few issues when it comes that you wouldn't experience here in a corporate office, so such as childcare concerns and making sure that we've got that covered for females. And we did have to do a review of our female facilities and make sure that they met all the needs now that we're focusing on increasing our female participation in our workforces across our sites.
And I want to touch on another one of the building blocks you mentioned, which was the increasing awareness around bullying and harassment. I just love the title, Call It Out, and the focus that you put on not just the individual's behaviour, but on being an observer and a bystander. How'd it go? That's a challenging thing to do across your business, and I'm sure would have had lots of different elements that probably, you know, a bit scary to talk about and approach. But how did it go and how was it received?
I think Call It Out has been really well received across all of our operations. And it was developed, it took us about a year to develop the Call It Out program in conjunction with the consulting firm Diversity Inclusion. So we partnered with them to build a solution to fit our industry and to fit our operations. So again, we worked at engaging across all levels of our site to build the key messages into that Call It Out program. And then we designed it so it would be successful for our operations. And look, it's been a fantastic program. What it's done, it's given everyone in our organization the common skills and the common language to call out instances of inappropriate behavior. And it's all around creating that culture and that environment that we want to work in. We all want a great place to work in. We all want to be happy and feel safe in our working environment. So it's all around creating that. And it's about standing up for our mates if we see something that's wrong. It's all about supporting our colleagues and addressing it and not letting any issues build and grow and potentially, you know, cause other problems. So it's all about addressing it. And it's all about being open and being willing to have those conversations with your teams.
Wow, it sounds incredible. And I'm going to go on to the next building block, which you described as your dynamic work policies. And again, another great name that incorporates lots of things, including your flexible work policies. So can you tell me how you actually approach this? Because so many companies having to constantly change and reflect and update particularly their parental leave, their flexible workplace. And of course, there's changes to legislation all the time around leave. And then what's kind of been the impact or the result of it through COVID, where we've all been challenged in a number of those areas?
Yeah, happy to do that, Tara. And look, the journey is always changing. We've made improvements, but there's always more work to be done. So it is truly is a journey what we're on here for inclusion and diversity. And so with regards to our suite of dynamic working policies, it all started off with research, understanding what's best practice within Australia, within mining, globally, what are the best practices that we're seeing in some other countries when it comes to flexible working or leave entitlement. So it was really a lot of research, and that's what led to the development of the dynamic working policies, which is, it's a really a suite of policies designed to give individuals options to better suit their lifestyles. So it includes our flexible working policy, where we cover two types of flexible working arrangements, either informal or formal flexible working. And at Anglo American, we are really open to discussing different types of flexible working and finding a solution that fits the individual as well as the business. We've certainly learned a lot from the COVID-19 isolation period in Brisbane, and following the Brisbane's workforce return to office, which we have seen recently, over 70 applications for remote working. So it's also about, it's been really good working with our leaders to understand what their requirements are, as well as being flexible and adapting to the needs of our workforce. So it's really great to see a positive outcome out of COVID-19, where we've proven working from home can be a success for the business and for the individual.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really accelerated that for a lot of industries, but particularly our industry. You touched on in your answer there how you go about gathering an evidence base. But for people that might be listening thinking, gosh, where do I go? How do I find out what is kind of out there in terms of all different types of policies in relation to diversity and inclusion? What do you use, Liz? What do you turn to, and how do you get your information?
A variety of ways, Tara. Mm. So connect with people who know. So we've connected with the Diversity Council of Australia. We've connected with the likes of yourself and Amma and being involved through the Aura Board and the connections we have there. Also partnered with external consultants to help us build that. And through some diversity practitioners organisations that I'm members of, and just learning around what other big businesses in Queensland are doing. And then a wealth of reading around the research that's out there. There's so much information that people are very willing to share in this space, because, you know, anyone who's involved in inclusion and diversity wants to make these improvements, not only for their own individual workplaces or organisations, but for society as a whole. So it's important that the whole of society come along with these changes. And so what we're doing, we're starting with these changes within our organisations. You know, we want everyone on board on this. So it's really great to see so many organisations willing to share their learnings.
You touched on the Aura Board. I'll just describe to people what that is. So that's the Australian Women Resources Diversity and Inclusion Advisory Board that Amma supports and is the secretariat for. Liz has been a member for a number of years now. Liz, can you just kind of describe for us what you get out of that board and what you give to that board?
Yeah, look, I really value the experience I have on the Amma's Aura Advisory Board. For me, I gain a lot from sharing what each board member is doing in their I&D space. So we have a variety of organisations across mining and resources participate in the Aura Board, and it's just so insightful to hear from them about what they're doing, you know, in flexible working, in psychological safety, in gender-based violence. So there's just so many learnings and experience that people from similar industries or from the same industry can share with us. So, and it's about the successes and failures, so we can all learn from that. It's just a fantastic experience. So again, it's not something that we can just do on our own. We need to tackle these industries as a whole. Otherwise, we're not going to shift the dial on inclusion or gender representation.
Mm. Well, that's a good segue into the second last building block. You talked about how increasing your workforce diversity, but in particular female representation, you know, no big surprise there with such a male-dominated industry. And I see it evolving in the industry from being really just focused on female workforce representation to broader I&D. But can you talk to us about how it's going, maybe from your perspective, from Anglo's perspective, in terms of how increasing female participation is going, what the challenges are, but also there's things that you think the industry as a whole could be doing better? I would really have to hear your perspective on that.
I might address the last one that you mentioned about how do we make it successful in the industry for inclusion and diversity. Look, I feel I'm incredibly fortunate to work in an industry that has a wide range of opportunities across so many professional disciplines, and we are well placed to support new careers into the future through our strong investment in innovation and technology. Mm. So the industry, I think, as a whole is going through a really fascinating time of change as we talk about digitalization, automation and transformation of our industry. So being more diverse and having a broader perspective of ideas and thoughts and experiences and backgrounds is only going to help us achieve those goals as an industry. So continuing to build awareness around this is really important. And we also need to ensure that our organizations are set up to internally to continue to embrace change and foster an inclusive and diverse environment where everyone is able to bring their whole selves to work every day. But as an industry, we do need to do more about broadening that that talent pool. So it is really about changing the perspectives of our industry and tell the story about what fantastic things we are doing for our communities in the areas that we operate. I think there's so much more that we can teach people about mining.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you guys are a really strong participant and supporter of the program that AMA facilitates, the Bright Future STEM program. Do you want to touch on why Anglo is involved in that program and any other programs you're involved in to do what you just described, which is really change that talent pool and that pipeline of people that could consider a career in our industry?
Sure. I love talking about the Bright Future STEM program to anyone who will listen. So I'm extremely passionate about the Bright Future STEM program, and I really commend AMA on developing and implementing such an engaging program for school-aged children. But I just think it's a brilliant opportunity to connect with children. And research shows that we need to engage with children at an earlier age to connect them with opportunities of working in our industry and the possibilities that studying STEM subjects provides. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about driving trucks and taking coal out of the ground. There's so much more to our industry that through the Bright Future STEM program, we're able to increase awareness about the great opportunities that exist across many different disciplines. So going out to the schools, either in Brisbane or the regions we operate, and having those sessions where we're able to put role models in front of the students so they can engage and talk to these role models in the professions, you know, engineers, and the kids can learn so much. And then we, you know, encourage them to participate in the really interactive STEM activities. And I mean, who doesn't like virtual reality goggles and having the experience of being able to go underground in an underground mine virtually? It's just fantastic. And I think sometimes I feel like a big kid wanting to participate in these days as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. And certainly, as you touched on, the research is really clear in that area. And it's really fantastic to have Anglo, but other employers really support that program. And, you know, really, from an AMA perspective, we're really just wanting to now do as much in terms of scaling it up to get to more and more children and more schools and those communities as possible. But the final building block that you mentioned was part of the diversity and inclusion culture journey for Anglo was mental health. And always so important, safety of our people, and mental health really in the last decade has become more and more important. And then this year has really shone a spotlight on the support that people are providing and the support that people need to manage through these very changing times. Can you describe the approach that Anglo takes to mental health and perhaps give us some idea of the types of initiatives and things you've been doing recently?
So mental health approach for Anglo is global. So Anglo American have built a global mental health framework, and it really gives us some structure around how we're going to try and tackle this very complicated issue. And it's all about creating that comprehensive approach to well-being. So we look at it under five pillars. The first one is promotion. So we're promoting mental health awareness to remove any stigma. We're supporting our colleagues and building support networks to encourage openness. It's all about creating and sustaining a safe environment. So making sure that we know how to intervene and focus on early recognition. It's also about building and maintaining a positive workplace through our policies and through the employee life cycle. And then it's about monitoring and reviewing. So checking our policies, checking the processes, and ensuring that we've got a robust approach that we can provide feedback on. So that's the framework and what it means. Like, we've really learned a lot and had a huge focus on mental health throughout COVID. You know, it's been a struggle for a lot of people. Mm. And we've done things like, we're now holding Metcol wide, which is really big for us because it covers all of our five sites as well as the head office in Brisbane. We're holding regular wellness webinars, and they've covered really fantastic topics on fatigue, on sleep, on resilience, on returning to the office, on how to build, you know, good mental health. So we're doing that, and we're recording these so anyone can access this information at any time. We're having conversations with our leaders. We're really training them up. We've just finished a training session, which we partner with the Neuro Leadership Institute to help our leaders manage through crisis. So it's all about providing those leaders with the tools they need to manage their teams through any crisis, but in particular through COVID-19. For our Brisbane employees, at the start of COVID, we sent a little care package home to them. So we've got this special We Care program of works for Anglo-American, which is all about ensuring during COVID that we show we have care and respect for our employees. And that little care package included some hand sanitizer, a first aid kit, and included some playing cards. When we're all stuck at home, we need to keep our sanity. So playing cards. It included some postcards with some key messages and information on people, how to reach out for support if needed, and the different avenues of support. Under the mental health framework, we're looking at training at least 5% of our workforce up as mental health first aiders. So we want to see at least one person on every shift at our sites as a trained mental health first aider. So hopefully they can recognise some of those early signs and then reach out to those people and make sure they know how to seek professional help if needed. We're really promoting our employee assistance program, which we've got a terrific partnership with Griffin, and we work with them. They've got some really useful videos and information which we're sharing with our whole workforce. So it's all about making sure our workforce knows what they can access if they do have issues as well. So there is a lot we're doing in this space, and there's a lot more we will be doing as well.
And it's definitely an evolving area in terms of how much is done from a mental health perspective in the workplace, and really changing the culture and reducing the stigma around talking about this stuff, which has just been incredible in our industry, the focus and attention on it. You kind of gave us a teaser before, Liz, saying that you're an accountant by background, but I can't chat to you and not have you share your journey from your career about what led you to become the Culture and Inclusion Manager at Anglo.
Wow, what led me to that?
Yeah,
well, I suppose I did say it's not what you would expect that I'm now in the role of inclusion and culture. And I'm part of the HR team, which, you know, 3 years ago, if someone told me I would have been part of the HR team, I would have been quite shocked. Yeah, I'm a qualified accountant or a certified practicing accountant, and I've been working in the energy and resources industry for over 22 years now with large multinational mining and energy companies. And I've worked all over the world, including Brisbane, London, Montreal and Texas. I've experienced in process improvement, managing change, governance and risk, and providing commercial and operational insights. And as I mentioned earlier, I came into the IND role 3 years ago at a time of change for Anglo-American. The executive leadership team identified there was a need to drive an improvement in diversity and rebuild the culture of the organisation. At the time, I was a senior female leader in the business who had always spoken up on issues of equity, and I fought for workplace improvements, particularly for women on parental leave and returning to the office following leave. So as a mum with three young boys, I really got a lot of experience in this area going through it myself. So that's how I came about. I suppose I was a senior female leader in the business, and I was approached to help work with the leaders on this change and on this journey we're going on for culture and inclusion. And I was ready for a new challenge in an area that I'm personally very passionate about, and it's been incredibly rewarding.
Wow. And, you know, what a fantastic concept that you've worked for a long time in the industry and yet you've been able to apply an area that you're passionate about and you've had the opportunity to do that. So you said a while ago that when we were talking about the talent pipeline, that this industry really provides so many different opportunities, and you are a perfect example of that, right?
Yes.
Wow. Well, Liz, we really appreciate your time and sharing not just your journey, but the journey that Anglo's been on around diversity and inclusion.
Oh, thank you, Tara. And thank you for listening to my story and for Anglo-American story. You know, we are on a journey, and it's not a word I usually like to use, journey. I think it's a bit overused today, but we're making changes every day and we're building on them. So when we know there's more to do in this area, and it's really exciting space to be involved in. And it's just great to be making those changes where we're creating a better workplace for all of our employees.
Well, thank you for your time and sharing all of that with us, Liz. And thank you for joining us on Resource People Podcast.
Thanks, Tara.
I hope you enjoyed hearing from Liz Hansen and hearing all about Anglo-American in the diversity and inclusion space. Hopefully it might have inspired you or given you some ideas for your organisation. But thanks for joining us and listening to this episode of Resource People Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Resource People Podcast. We look forward to you joining us next time as we highlight the many great stories of the resources and energy industry. If you have any questions about the podcast, please email media@ama.org.au. Produced by Brad Thompson.